are now listening to the Matt Jordan and Friends podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, and whatever you define yourself by,
and everything in between,
and everything in between, and if you're not a gentleman or a lady, you know, just live your fucking life. welcome to the first inaugural episode of the Matt Jordan and Friends podcast. I am your host, Matt Jordan, also known as the reigning, defending, undisputed heavyweight champion of awesome.
And I'm Baylen G, otherwise known as Matt Jordan.
Okay, so and then
so
down the line, I'm known as you. That's cool.
Nailed it.
Let's just go around in circles. Yeah. No. But yes, we are here on this lovely first podcast that is going to be a piece of trash.
Garbage fire.
You are now listening to audio garbage fire. Turn your headphones up and hear the hear the damage to all the property. More property damage than Superman, that last Superman movie. You know about that, right? Because they destroyed everything and killed all the people.
It was
very terrible. But yes, we are here to talk about things and shit and things.
And
shitty things and things that are could be shit. We don't know. We're inspecting little pieces of shit on this podcast. No, we're not. No, we're not.
And I
don't
want to say that.
Yeah. yes, but Baylen is one of my oldest, dearest friends.
I'm old.
She's like 87.
I'm 87. I don't even know where I'm at right now.
Thank you for taking time out of your many hip replacement surgeries to
join us. I had a backgammon tourney that I skipped for you, you little shit. So you should feel very grateful.
I do.
Nah, we met like 10 years ago, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, like right around this time of year, I was at college and very depressed and decided that the internet was going to be my best friend. And then the internet morphed into Matt Jordan, and then Matt Jordan was my best friend.
Yes. So,
I think I messaged you on Tumblr and told you to have my babies.
I think that might have been right. I still don't know like what I could have posted that would have like created that moment.
I don't remember either. All I know is that I sent you a message and you were like, "I'm down," and I was like, "Cool, you have a great sense of humor. We can be friends."
Yes. So. And if the listeners didn't know, Tumblr is a relic of the past of social media. It's fucking abandoned, like those almost old prisons.
Almost as old as me.
She was actually one of the patriarchs of Tumblr, like back when it was on fucking stones, you know. Like if you look back at pictures of Moses, she's actually in the back scribing the first Tumblr terms of conditions.
Yeah, it was weird because Jesus was there also. And I was like, whoa, I didn't know Moses and Jesus were alive at the same time. This is crazy.
Anyway. Yeah, remember when you waved to Jesus and he just like walked by? He didn't notice. Like, I think in retrospect, he was busy, but like.
I mean, he's a pretty busy dude. But every time I think about it, I almost get embarrassed for him.
Yeah. and I mean, like, Moses is there with his commandments and like no one's noticing the terms and conditions of Tumblr. I felt so bad for you.
Yeah.
And the not bad Bible, like just some scriptures. But yeah, Tumblr is a relic of the past blog site, now owned by Yahoo, and that is how we met.
It's true.
Good times.
Yeah, everyone always says you shouldn't make friends with the internet because they're strangers who want to rip out your organs, but I think this one turned out really well. No organs ripped out so far, so.
Yeah, no, I remember back in the day when I was making friends on Tumblr and I had my real life friends be like, hey, like, that's weird. You're meeting people from the internet. And
I know.
It's the norm. You know, you swipe and get dates from the internet. You have random people pick you up in cars. The world's different. But back then I was a pioneer and everyone thought I was crazy. And now no one believes me. So that's fucking cool. Fuck you all. I was right.
You are now listening to the Matt Jordan and Friends podcast.
I would like for you to tell us about meeting Jeff Goldblum. That's a very nice part of this.
I don't know what it is about my life where I attract random celebrities. Al Gore, Danny Sexbang, Jeff Goldblum.
I forgot about Al Gore. Wow. Yeah. I forgot about the godfather of the internet. Wow. Thanks.
I know. He's the one who made our friendship happen. Like, all Al Gore. We owe it all to him.
I mean, in my defense, Jeff Goldblum's serving up looks. So, you know.
Oh, fuck. It was his birthday yesterday, and he just looks. Oh, he looks like this shimmering god of sex, and I just love him anyway. So one of my buddies, as a wedding gift, gave Matthew and me just like straight up cash, which we weren't expecting. And he was like, you can have this as long as you use it for something really boss. And I was like, down, I'm down. So Matt and I decided to go south from San Francisco down to LA to see Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra play in, I think it's like Central Hollywood. I think it's a little bit wet. I don't know. Anyway, but it's in this part of the town that I've never been to. And my dad and his now husband drove us, and they were like glowing the entire time. And I didn't know why. But we got there super early because, I don't know, everybody was just in a super good mood. And we were like, we should just get going. We're already ready to do this. And we were like one of the first people there. And we had a table like right up front. And we were pretty hungry because we were just too excited to get there. We forgot about food. So we ordered food and I got some burger sliders and we're just talking amongst ourselves. And then all of a sudden I hear this noise behind me. And someone clearing their throat. And I look up at Matthew, because my back is to the stage. I'm like, he's right behind me, isn't he? And Matt just nods very nonchalantly, not even like, oh my God. He's just like, yeah, he's right behind you. And I turn around and there's Jeff and he goes, hello. And I'm like, well, hello.
Oh my God.
And I don't remember the exact conversation, but I know he remarked about the sliders I was eating and he's like, they're really good. And I'm like, do you want some of my slider? He's like, yes, I do. And he picks it up and he takes a bite and he's just like, oh. I'm like, wow. I don't know what to do. And he finishes it, no big deal. They were tiny. And I'm like, I panic. And I'm like, this is my dad. And he turns to my dad and he goes, hello, dad, and shakes his hand. And my dad goes, this is my daughter. And he turns and shakes my hand. Hello, daughter.
Oh, my God. And
yeah. So at this point, I blacked out because I'm just like, I can't believe that this is the dumbest conversation that I've ever had to participate in. And Jeff Goldblum is a part of it. And
oh, my God.
He leans down and he says very quietly, I'm sorry. I thought you were Anna Kendrick. And I choked on
oh, my God.
So I choked on my puke and my tongue. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. And it very much became clear later on in the show that he might have a little bit of facial blindness or he's just that much of a fucker. because he called out someone else in the audience as Elizabeth Moss. And it very, very clearly was not the star Peggy from Mad Men or The Handmaid's Tale.
You are now listening to the Matt Jordan and Friends podcast.
Okay. Podcast. Yes. This is the podcast.
Shut up. We're doing this because you had an awesome birthday experience back on, guess when, 420. Holy shit.
Yes.
That you have not shared with me. And we've been holding on to it for, 6 months, I believe.
Yeah. I've been holding on to this story, but finally.
This story better fucking deliver.
I hope it does. And I mean, it, as much as I've told it and been ordered to tell it, it's held up.
All right. Well, expectations are reasonably high. So tell us about your birthday.
All right. So my birthday is 420. Yeah, good birthday. And I had no plans for the actual day of my birthday, but my friend Christy, shout out to her, she demanded I name her by name so she could have credit. She said that she was going to take complete control of my birthday plans, which, you know, it's not really my thing to just kind of let someone control what I'm doing. I kind of need to know what's going on. But I was like, all right, I'm in a good space. You can control everything. So I think I worked that morning. I got off of work. We got to her car and she was like, eat this candy. I think it was 3 Reese's Jello candies, or maybe 4, like the size of little mini Reese's cups.
Okay.
And obviously these were special candies. And,
so you were aware. Okay.
Well, I was aware, but then it was like, I don't think I was aware of how many I was eating at that point. So when you think mini Reese's size, it hits hard. Like, you should probably only have one of those.
Oh, good. And you
maybe 2. I took 3 or 4. I just.
Oh, God, no.
I was feeling good, man. Started to chew it up. And so we're in the car waiting for my friend Kayla. Shout out to Kayla, too. So we're in the car and she's like, okay, so now I can tell you what we're doing. We're going to an escape room. And then immediately I'm like, why did you give me this to go into an escape room?
Oh, was, my God. No.
One of my last lucid thoughts, I was like, this is a terrible idea. You know that, right? And then she divulged to me that she also had several candies herself. Fuck. So this is going to be a fun team effort.
Awesome.
So I was like, all right, like, let me get myself into space. Like, all right, this is weird and creepy, but I'm actually like in no immediate danger, which is the good part. I'll just be in a building. So Kayla shows up. We head over to the escape room. And by then, you know, I think I'm around 25% candy abduction. And we're sitting there at the table waiting for the guy to tell us the plans. I'm like playing with puzzles and already I'm like freaking out about the puzzles that are just sitting in the middle of the table.
So, you're just like, this is so much. Oh my God.
Yeah. But we just get in there and like, it was a, I'll just spoil it because I don't really care about anyone that hasn't gone to the room yet. Fuck them. they had time. Fuck them. Oh yeah, we're swearing too, obviously. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, it's cool. We're fuck them. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Yeah. So we get put into the skate room. It's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde room. I feel like I remember the guy saying that, but when he was talking, I just wasn't hearing words. Cause like by the time we're like actually getting to the room, I'm like, all right, like this shit is hitting me. And, we get put into the room and like, we're looking for stuff. And I'm like, I think we did pretty good.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
I think the guy, he told us later, it was a like 25 minute average in the first room. There was actually two rooms, so it was pretty weird. Like that's a door, cool. A door shot open and everything. But like we did it in 15 minutes.
Oh shit.
Like there was a whole bunch of stuff in the room that like, you know, there's like paintings. It was a very like the Dr. Jekyll room, very nice and calm. So I think we did it in 10 minutes. And okay. So we get to the second room and that's where everything starts hitting.
Oh, no. Swear. I was just going to ask.
So we started losing our fucking mind. Actually, it's just me and Christy. Kayla was candy free. But me and Christy start losing our fucking minds. Like our brains start melting. Like, oh. Like we're trying to figure out puzzles and we're like freaking out. So at some point, I find a hat and a jacket. And I'm realizing, actually, wait, Mr. Hyde is the good guy. And Dr. Jekyll's the creepy one. Okay, yeah. So we're in the...
We went, I wasn't going to say anything, yeah, because I was just like, yeah, you're just telling a story.
Just fucking correct me. Fuck it. Just correct me.
Keep going.
Correct me on my podcast. Fuck you, Matt.
That's what the podcast is called. Fuck you, Matt.
Yeah, fuck me, Matt. Yeah. So we're freaking out, and like I see a lab coat and a hat. So I check the hat and I'm like looking at the hat and I put the chef coat, the lab coat on. I checked the lab coat and it was just like, obviously in retrospect, it was just a lab coat. But mm-hmm. I thought it was a clue, not a decoration in the room that could come off. Like, and you know, and looking back, it was a cool decoration. I, on those candies, assumed and swore to my life that it was a clue. And so like we would touch something and Kayla would be like, oh yeah, it's a code. And like, but where are we going to find the code? And then Christy would just be like, we should check the lab coat. And she would just like run up to me and like touch the lab coat. And I would start touching the lab coat. And then like, obviously it was just a plain white lab coat.
Yeah. But suddenly,
like every time we would wander off, we would be like, did we check the lab coat again? Like, can we check the lab coat? Like, it's, and Kayla's just like, bless her heart. She's trying to like reel us in. But we're like, we're in this room. Like, I have no recollection of the rest of my life before my birthday at that. All I know is this room at this point, because everything's been wiped clean. I'm a brand new iPhone, like fresh out of the box.
Somebody formatted you.
Please choose your language, like brain level.
Moving up.
Booting up for the first time. So like, yeah, we're freaking out. And at some point there's a periodic table. So I'm going to honestly say for 30 minutes straight, I looked at this periodic table and was muttering to myself. With
about what? About what?
I was doing puzzles. I was doing the puzzles in the room. So later I realized that the puzzles that I was trying to solve with the periodic table, none of them were supposed to go with this periodic table. I just had this one puzzle that was supposed to be a lock in someone in the room with dials. And I'm looking at the periodic table and trying to like sound it out. Like I'm muttering myself like, all right, 42 and I and 24 is CE. So like, that's nice. And but wait, what if it's sign? Okay, C. Okay, and then what about 11? And I was just like, that level of obnoxiousness for 30 minutes straight.
Like Jim Carrey in the movie The Number 23.
Yeah, just I did the finger thing too, where I was like, my fingers were like moving around, like I'm this like incredible genius, and like I'm doing math on like an invisible calculator, calculator that's taking up. From the ceiling, just tapping it.
Aww.
And my brain's like melting. And then, you know, every 5 minutes between those 30 minutes, it'd be like, all right, we gotta check the lab coat. The lab coat. Can we check the lab coat? Can we check the lab coat again?
You are just like, a useless pile at this point.
6'5" black dude being in the middle of an escape room. And it's dark and weird, so it's like a dark
murky chicks.
And this white woman also checking this lab coat that's on the dude. And just, it was literally like what I would imagine they're in an airport and like you keep going to the metal detector and they're trying to figure out what on you like could be metal. Looking at this lab coat, like America's safety was on the line.
God, so, it sounds like a bad porno to me. Like, I was about to be like, is there an old leather couch in the corner in that room?
Just a bad porno where it's an escape room. Oh my God. Wow. Looks like we're never getting out of here. We might as well have sex in this room. We're fucking stuck.
30 minutes later, you all like jumbled together. They're like, "Ah, oh, you failed. Like, you need to get out. Oh God."
Oh my God, I wish. Oh, so I'm still brain melting, and we start figuring out puzzles. We're starting to pull things around. Like, I think I figured out one puzzle. There was like a pole with like a string tied to it, and I like stuck the string down a pipe and it magnetized and locked into a key, and then I pulled the bar up and there was a key attached to the end of the thing. It was just crazy room. And one thing I did not know, he said it and I ignored him because I was brain melting.
You didn't ignore him, you just couldn't fathom the words that were coming out of his mouth. Yeah,
he said explicitly, everything in this room, in the first room, like after you use something, you don't need to use it again. Like every clue.
Oh, okay.
It's the standard practice of escape rooms, right. I found out. It makes sense, you know? But we did not know that. So there were like fake plastic bottles and fake plastic wine glasses that were like on a fireplace in the first room to, you know, get that lore of like this, you know, kept up nice guy having a nice house and stuff. So we were just carrying all these bottles and wine glasses from the first room. Like, we had all this.
I got 5 cents each for these.
Yeah, like I think we had a lock too, like one of the locks we took off of something in the first room. We like brought it with us, like a chain link lock. But we just had all this shit, so like we were carrying around. So we stuck it in front of this painting. We were like on this table, we're like, all right, let's just stick all our clues that we thought were all our clues. It was literally just like, I'm pretty sure they thought we were fucking crazy. It's like we're going, and at some point we're dealing with a black light and we're trying to figure out what goes on to a black light. You know, we're like, we think we're low on time, and like we're going and the black light, and I'm like, oh my God, I scream. And they're like, what? So I run to the first room, I push open, it was actually a bookcase that opened up. And it was another room behind the bookcase. It was like really awesome. Like we did a thing on a chessboard and that made the door swing open, like the bookcase. So like it was actually like real mechanical stuff that was happening when you complete a puzzle. So I slammed that door, pushed that door open, and grab a globe, like one of those big school globes that's
I was hoping you were gonna say another lab coat.
No, I wish.
Dream life. Anyway.
It's like, no, this one's mine. I showed up with it. Like
I brought it as an extra for comfort.
I didn't know if you guys are gonna have it or not. Like, you've done this 16 times, you know we have the fucking lab coat.
Can I touch your lab coat again?
Mrs. Don't get out of here. Just shooing me away like a cat. Just get down, get.
You just start pawing at the door.
You don't belong here, get.
Oh. So you pull out this globe.
Oh my God. Poor cat. I'm very sad about this cat, which is me.
Kathy Lee Jordan.
I'm literally two levels of a fictional world where I'm in another world and I'm also a cat.
I think that already exists and it's called Warrior Cats. Let's not talk about Warrior Cats. Oh my God.
Okay, we'll punch in back into that. We'll go back to that. I'm wrapping this up. we're gonna talk about Warrior Cats. I'm making note of it.
Not keep going.
So this big floor globe, like the one with the wheels and everything, you know, big classroom ones. So I grab the globe and the whole thing from the other room, and I wheel it. Like I'm not putting all of my strength. I'm a pretty strong guy. I put a nice amount of strength into it. So I'm pushing the globe through the room, and I push the globe in the center of the room, and then I step back like the proudest child ever. Like I did something like how Carrie Strug stood up when she did that flip in the Olympics.
Oh yeah.
Presented myself like I was a fucking genius, like, and like now we're taking around 80%, 85% of like candy absorption, and I just like look at the globe like yeah, and nothing happens because it's just a fucking globe from the other room. I literally thought I was gonna wheel this globe in, the black light was gonna hit it, and it was gonna show me the fucking Declaration of Independence, like, like I swore my fucking life that this globe was going to light up like the ring from Lord of the Rings. Like it was just going to start fucking glowing and materializing like that. That's what I envisioned. That's what I envisioned. And it just did not happen. But we're going. And so we start picking up some clues. And at some point, like, I can't stand life. Like I've teetered into this, like, I need 5 minutes to just like stand still and not move. So I picked a corner of the room and I just stood there and just like looked at, because like I was gone.
Yeah,
it was like when your phone's I'm making another phone reference, when your phone's like downloading 100 apps at the same time, like everything's in queue and you're just waiting, like,
yeah, the little like circle going around.
Like I gotta wait for all this to install. So I started doing that, and on one side of the room, Kayla and Christy are trying to figure out a lock. So they're trying to figure it out, and Christy's like turning the key, but she can't really like get it. So Kayla jumps on and she's like, oh, maybe it's the other one. And I think she thought there was another key. It probably was another like puzzle again, so we didn't need it anymore. But she gets up and she runs to the opposite corner. So I'm in one corner, they're on the corner next to me on my left, and Kayla starts running to the opposite corner to grab the key that's okay, with the wine bottles and everything. So as she's running, I see Christy like move her hand a little bit and she gets the key in. So when she gets the key, I'm like, I can see both of them. Like, I don't know what my brain's doing. It's like fucking teetering on like boot looping and restarting. I can see both of them at the same time. So I look at Christy a little bit more. I see her get the key in and I see her like do this motion, a turning as I'm looking back at Kayla. Cause I want Kayla to be like, hey, like look at her open the key. Like I'm just, my brain's done.
Yeah. You're so like trying to mentally tell her.
So as Kayla's running up to the painting, the thing over like the dresser that's holding all the crap to find the key, like she's running towards it. And as she's about to get to there, Christy turns the key and the fucking painting opens up through the wall and like, everything falls off the table, like shoots off the table. Like Kayla almost gets hit with the painting. Like my brain just bursts into flames at that point. And we were all just like screaming, just like, oh my God, what do we do? Like,
we're all gonna die.
Like it swung open. Like there's bottles and glasses and puzzles.
Oh my God. You guys paid $40 to die in a strip mall.
Like, so Kayla almost gets like killed. I see her almost get killed, and then Christy just hears the biggest fucking like hellish noise from behind her and like turns around, like,
oh my God.
But Kayla ended up okay, and then we solved the puzzle somehow. We actually asked for a clue. The dude told us there's a couple clues, and we asked for a clue, and like he helped us, and then we got it done. I think we got it done 56 minutes.
Okay, so was it like an out of an hour?
So the guy comes in, and he's like, okay, so so when the guy walks in, it's not that big of a room. It's like the size of like, you know, like a normal size bedroom, you know, kind of like a secondary bedroom. You know, it's not too big. Sure. So walks in there before he even like says a word. you could tell he's just like he's had a fucking blast looking at us because we probably look like psychotic. And there was 30 minutes while I was looking at the periodic table.
Oh, God. So that's,
like highlighted there. Walks in, he like almost falls into the fucking globe, and the look on his face is like utter shock. Like he's probably done this escape room people 1,000 times,
yeah,
and has never seen the fucking globe in the Dr. Jekyll room. So we're just standing in this room where he's usually talking to people after they saw the puzzle through and through, and this globe's in the middle of the room, and like,
oh no.
I was just like, because you could tell he was just like, what the fuck is this fucking globe doing in here? Like,
you idiots carried this with you.
Like, imagine there was just a room in your house and you seen it the same way forever, and then you walk in, there's like a big fucking crate in the middle, and you're just like, what are you? Why are you here?
Where did you come from? Did somebody abandon you? This isn't a fire station.
This is wrong. You guys failed.
Oh.
But he ignored the globe after that. He sure. said that we finished, and he said that we said like got close to one of the records for like the first room, and he's like, and then the second room, he's like, you could tell he was just like, you guys just yeah. He said that he's like, I've never seen an escape room, and obviously candy party, but he's right. like, I've never seen an escape room done where no one's talking. He's like, you guys weren't talking to each other, you guys weren't really communicating, and he's like, I would just see one of you like stand in a corner, and then you'd walk away and solve a puzzle, and I'd just be like, what? He's like, at no point were you guys fucking talking.
Oh,
he's just sitting there. So I guess they watch you as you're doing the escape room. They just like,
yeah, they could see you.
He watched me stare at a fucking periodic table. Yep. It's like staring at a wall, and that's gotta be fucking weird. Like, people are probably like in corners and like comparing and talking, and we're just like quietly like in different areas of the room, not speaking, and then doing stuff. And he's like, "How?"
Oh my god!
Yeah, no, he said the second room that like he's like, "Yeah, you guys kind of almost like set a." He's like, "I think you definitely spent the most time I've ever seen anyone spend in the second room."
Because you got too hung up on things.
And like as he's talking, I think he gets through this like he's talking about how we did, and I think Chris, I mean, again, like I have the memory of the situation, but also candy. I think Christy says, what about the bottles? Because like she's asking about the bottles that were in the other room. Like she's like, what puzzle did those solve? And he's like, well, one of you, like, and this fucking blew my mind. Like my brain just started screaming. He's like, one of you, like there was a key that opened the first puzzle. He's like, one of you took it out the bottle. There was a key in one of the bottles. And then like, me and Christy just look like, what? Like, first off, we didn't know that. That ever happened, because we were just melting. And second, we were just like completely shocked that the bottles were just plastic bottles, like wine glasses. Like we thought these wine glasses were going to stick on a table and it was going to open.
They like meant something. Oh,
it was like Indiana Jones. Like we're going to be able to switch out a fucking gold chalice for a wine glass.
Yeah, and then they're like, the sunlight would like hit it just right and it would like bounce off and reveal something on the wall and the Ark of the Covenant would open up.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so we finished that and he's like, you know, you guys almost finished it. And then we took pictures, which like you could tell in the pictures that I'm like screaming for help. Like don't have control. Like I look very like weird and like I'm hunching weirdly for some reason. I'm like 6'1" in the picture. Cause I'm hunching so much.
You're being a goblin.
Yeah. So then we leave, we go to a bar and, we're at the bar and then we're just talking. We're just like, it's like still, I think 6 PM in the afternoon and we're just drunk, screaming, yelling like about the escape room. And there's probably like six other people in the bar. And I think they start leaving after like, randos just start screaming in the middle of the afternoon. So we just started talking about it and I was like, yo, like I want to do that again. And then Chrissy's like the exact same skate room. And I was like, yeah. And then
just want to touch the lap coat.
Yeah, I was like, I honestly missed the room. Like that was a nice room.
I had moments in that like, room.
I was hanging out in there. So then Christy and Kayla start talking and then this is where like I hit 100% and my mind just like goes off the rails and I start thinking of the longest list of reasons why I could go back to the room. So I started calling them. I was like, all right, guys, I got scenarios. And then like I just started like going off like for instance, I was saying scenario one, we just go into the room and like solve all the puzzles in 1 minute, but then don't leave the room. Like don't solve the last puzzle and just hang out.
Like, oh my God.
Watch you on the camera. Like you have one puzzle left, but you're not doing anything and you paid. So like, so you just sit there and hang out. You just take out your phone.
This check is something. Your new home.
Find a chair. There's a chair in the first room, like sit in a chair and just hang out.
And like, if you need some new perspective, you just go to the other room.
Yeah, exactly. Just walk around. So then I think I said that and then they were like, they absorbed the thought and they said, okay. And then the second they were about to start talking, I'm like, all right, I got another scenario. We walk up in there and we just each pick a camera in the room, in the first room, and we just stare into it up at them and we just start crying. Just start bawling, crying, looking at him through the camera.
Hey guys, who wants to pay $40 to traumatize for second chance?
just hysterically crying and sobbing with her eyes wide open staring into the camera just like
who just has like a small bowl of honey and you're just eating it with a fork for no reason while they're just
licking it off your fingertips while you're crying. Oh god.
Oh god. Did you have any more scenarios?
There's like seven. We're just getting started here. This is the roundabout of the story. All right. So these might be out of order, but it doesn't fucking matter because this podcast doesn't matter. Scenario three. What was scenario three? Scenario three is you go into the room. You look very confused for 55 minutes and you're just like scratching your head, looking at one thing in the room. And then like within 4 minutes left, you solve every single puzzle with 30 seconds left. And they just watch you stare at one painting for 55 minutes and then you solve everything. Next scenario, you walk in there, take off all your clothes and just just stare at the camera.
Oh no.
Maybe jumping jacks for 60 minutes.
And then cry. Jumping jacks for 60 minutes.
Jumping jacks for 60 minutes naked in the room.
Oh, God. And when you eventually tire out, you're just like on the ground making snow angels.
Or another scenario that you solve all the puzzles in under a minute, but then the last puzzle, you take the key, the last key, and then you take your clothes off, and then you swallow the key, and then yell into the camera, "Come and get me." And come and get me, man. You want this key? You better come and get me, man.
Oh my God. What's the next one?
Oh my God. There's so many. Wait, I'm trying to think. Oh my God. While my brain thinks, I'm going to tell a little part of the story. He also told us that he's like, "You guys didn't ask for hints." And we were like, "We didn't. You said a couple hints." And he's like, "Well, people usually ask for you said a couple. I think we did one. We asked for one hint because we were like, all right, a couple, you know, we have two." And he was like, "People usually get like 15 hints, like to 20 hints." He's like, "You guys without getting hints." And
you would think that they would limit you to like three or something. I mean, like, you're not in there to have a tutorial yelling at you like, "Now touch that other wall." Like, come on.
Yeah. I didn't know. I heard couple, like what I assume couple is couple, two or two to three. All right, another one. I just thought of it. Thank God I had a little breath of time. You go with four friends and then you break out chutes and ladders and you just play board games, or like you play Scrabble in the middle of friends.
Wholesome escape room. I love it. You have like pink walls and like stuffed animals, and there's like a nice cushy like oversized beanbag in the corner, and soft music is playing, and you like win the game and a door opens, you're like, "Oh my God." And then there's this like Care Bears and stuff in the other room.
Such a nice room. I just wanted to hang out a bit. So I was like, what if we just bought a Scrabble board? We break out a Bluetooth speaker. We're chilling, just like
twink. I'm sensing this ongoing theme of you wanting to pay a one-time fee to enter into a place where you can feel comfortable and have trap doors. I believe that's called an apartment, as long as you don't know what's behind the door when you first move in.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's like random apartment. Like, you know, it's happy time room. Well, like, that's the thing. When I realized that no one would ever go to the same escape room twice, then I was just like, I need to know every reason why they would. And those are the many reasons. Like, just go in there and start having a big relationship fight while solving puzzles. And it's like very loud and vulgar, and you're hearing shit you don't want to hear. Like,
Matt Jordan got high on his birthday and fell in love with an escape room.
I mean, come on. It was a beautiful room. Or what if you just like go into the room and you're looking at the camera and you're just like, "I'm lonely." Like, hi.
Or no, not like present tense. Say, "I was lonely and I'm not anymore." And then just stare.
And then just like every few minutes, you just like yell, just like, "Give me a hint."
Amazing. So, did you have a good time?
You just buy yourself in the escape room. And you're just like, "Gimme, help me.
Help.
It's hard. Help me.
I want to be spooked."
What y'all doing out there? How much y'all get paid? Tell me on the screen. Because it's a big TV screen in the room too, so like they'll type and tell you things like the clues or whatnot. So you can just like,
"Oh, cool, okay." Hey,
like, "How are you? How much do you get paid? Tell me on the screen." Like, type it in. oh, and then, Yeah, so then we were just like laughing at all the scenarios and stuff. And if I missed some, yeah, it's been 6 months, so I didn't remember them all. But and then Christy could not find her keys, and then we like,
oh no,
we searched the bar, and then we were like, what do we do? And like her keys were in her car door from before we went into the escape room.
God damn it.
So we find them, like, the keys just hanging there, and, like, we had, like, the biggest laugh. Like, I have a video of it. It's amazing.
Aww.
And then, other than that, Christy drove me home, and that was interesting. That was, like, it felt like I was on Aladdin's magic carpet.
Seeing all the colors in the world at once.
And then, oh, yeah, the finale part, the ending part. So I get home and I'm like already like completely burnt and out of it. And like, I've got beers in me. So I go and order, I guess I ordered Uber Eats McDonald's, and oh, I like, fuck, don't remember it. And I grab it and like, I guess I devour it, and I guess I pass out.
Oh, so, my God.
So Sarah comes home and finds me in bed next to a McChicken. And I swear to God, I jumped like there was a full grown woman in the bed with me. Like I jumped like, no. I was like, it's not what you think it is. Not, no, hey. Like I covered the McChicken with my hands. Like I up and I just like jumped and I was like, hey. It's not what you think. I was lonely. They made me leave the escape room. I was lonely.
This is third best, babe.
It was just like, I was so ashamed. It was literally like, she walked in and I was with somebody. Like, that's literally what I felt. I was embarrassed as fuck. With this, like, guilty McDonald's just...
Well, I think not guilty. Like, when do you ever eat McDonald's and not feel like a pile of garbage afterwards?
Right. So here's where I feel like a more added part of garbage. My attire. I only had a shirt on, so I was literally sitting there.
No.
Like,
Winnie the Pooh-ing it
next to a McChicken, and covering this McChicken with my hands, like a dirty McDonald's slut.
Oh my God. I have never been more proud of you.
My God.
Oh my God. I'm clapping it out for you.
Oh my God. All right. And that is going to finish up our podcast. I would like to thank our lovely guests, Balin, for coming out here and talking about Jeff Goldblum and escape rooms and how we met. And as a thing I would like to start doing on this podcast, Balin, I would like for you to shout out whoever you want to, multiple people, one person, just quick shout out to someone that you might think is listening and say what you want. And yeah, do you.
Shout out to Jeff Goldblum. I miss you, Daddy. No, don't use it. I keep saying it.
Oh, my God. I miss you, Daddy. Wow.
Thanks for having me.
Now I just want the art for this thing to be the biggest wide-eyed picture of Jeff Goldblum. I miss you, Daddy.
Oh, I'm a gem. Well...
But yes, Balin, thank you for coming on the first episode of this Manure podcast. I hope you would come back again sometime if we figure out more things to talk about, or if you miss another daddy celebrity. I don't know.
I'm down for a second date.
Probably wants more fucking sliders, you know? He's insatiable.
I'm so hungry. Oh, my God. Okay.
All right. But thank you very much for being on here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I fucking love you.
I love you too. I hope this was pleasurable for everybody. Like, I hope this was I don't actually give a fuck. If you hated this fucking podcast and you're hearing me talk about this right now, then you're fucked. I got you to listen to the whole fucking podcast and you hated it, and now you're hearing me talk about not cared about you hated it. So fuck yeah.
And while you're at it, could you possibly send him $500? Because I mean, if you're still here, then obviously you give it enough shits to send him $500.
Yeah, Ned, go ahead. I gotta GoFundMe so I could have a better chair while I podcast. we are accepting donations. My chair really hurts. And
I'm currently doing this in a bathtub.
I could order a chair, but the chair I like is at Office Max, and they don't really do free delivery. So, like, who's not doing free delivery these days, you know? So, like,
it's so funny, for like $73 plus local tax.
I will need the money to Uber to Office Max and to purchase the chair. I'm not gonna go pick up the chair. That's crazy. You know, you can't put an office chair in an Uber. I'm going to need the money to Uber there and purchase it. And then
you're gonna need money. Yeah.
And then I need money to pay my friend to carry it up the stairs for me, please.
I was gonna say Task Rabbit, but like, if you got a buddy who'll carry that shit, you gotta at least buy him a beer. So that's a couple bucks.
I would say prayers and donations, but the donations are what's needed. The prayers aren't going to give me a new chair. I don't think God has an Office Max account. I think he's just got Amazon Prime, you know, and he doesn't see the point for two sites like me. This has been the Matt Jordan and Friends podcast. if you didn't like it, go fuck yourself. I don't give a fuck. kiss my fucking ass. What do you expect?
I hope that as you're just saying that, once I start talking, you should cut it at this part. But I hope as you're saying that, you've just got like John Cena's theme, like, blasting in the background and fading out with that.
My God, I should have it at the exact note I say something. It should just play the John Cena song out. or like a fucking terrible cover of it.
Oh, like, my God.
Like get a flute cover?
Yeah, get a shitty recorder cover of it.
Some girl playing the violin. It's like soft music.